This is Radio EcoShock with Alex Smith.
Rocking out with the Steve Miller Band, this is Radio EcoShock. Big old jet airliner, the magic of flying. We can fly! Humans love those roaring jets so much, we hardly notice the 5% boost to greenhouse gases from all the jet fuel burned. You may not love them so much if you live within 12 miles of any airport, where the cancer, heart deaths, sleepless nights, and wrecked lives grow. It's not just the noise. Cancer-causing chemicals fly from the exhaust and drop into the communities all over the world. As the economy peaks in growth and starts to shrink in resources, the airline industry and their government booster pals still plan on a mad burst of expansion. Over 3,000 American airports plan new runways, like runway number 8 at O'Hare in Chicago or JFK in New York. Victims under the flight paths are blamed by the industry and abandoned by major environmental groups in the U.S. and Canada. Not so in the U.K. British and Scottish green groups boosted public awareness. 3,000 people camped out to stop the expansion of Heathrow Airport in London. They killed the third runway. We'll talk to leader John Stewart in Britain. He's been banned from America in a horrible loss for free speech and airport protest groups. In this program, you will hear what Stewart planned to say on the recent aviation justice tour in the U.S. and Canada. Then we'll hear from one of the most experienced airport expansion campaigners in the U.S. Debbie Wagner has been fighting off pollution from SeaTac Airport in Seattle for decades. She knows where the cancer grows. I'll squeeze in a bit from British plain stupid campaigner Dan Glass, the man who super glued his hands to the Prime Minister's sleeve. He too got a visit from one of Obama's top FBI agents. I'm Alex Smith. The dream of mass flight for humans is killing the planet and wrecking the lands below. Get ready for a hard landing. There is another John Stewart, not the host of The Daily Show. This John Stewart is almost as widely known in his own country, the UK, and across Europe. Starting out as an anti-roads activist, John dedicated himself to stopping a multi-billion dollar expansion of Heathrow Airport in London. He faced an alliance of giant corporations backed by the highest levels of government. John Stewart lined up an impressive coalition of local homeowners. These were ordinary people fed up with noise and pollution. He hooked them into powerful environmental groups and a sympathetic public. In 2008, John was named the most influential environmental activist in the United Kingdom. But I want to make one thing clear to the many American listeners of Radio EcoShock. You are not allowed to hear John speak in the United States. John Stewart, welcome to Radio EcoShock.
Thanks, Alex.
Well, you were supposed to go on a long-planned tour of North America, helping local people organize against thousands of airport expansions. Tell us about your first trip to America.
Very interesting. Not at all what I expected. The plane arrived at JFK Airport, and suddenly six policemen burst into the plane, came up to me, asked that I accompany them off the plane, saying that a phone call had been made, that I had made threats against the president. I was marched through customs, then interviewed by immigration, the American Secret Service, the FBI, and 7 hours later, I was put on the next plane back to London. So within 24 hours, I was back at London Heathrow Airport.
John, you are an older gentleman, well-regarded in Britain, with no criminal record, and you were forbidden to speak in the supposed land of free speech. That's a little frightening, isn't it?
It certainly took me by surprise. And what is particularly frightening is I understood afterwards that while I was in the air on my way to the States, somebody had made a phone call saying that this person, identifying me, had made a phone call making threats against Obama. Now, clearly I hadn't done that, but it does seem to me that it was a great excuse for me to be interviewed at length. Once those sort of allegations had been made, they had an excuse to interview me, and it was perfectly clear from what the FBI was saying is that they did not want me to talk about the campaign against the third runway at Heathrow in the States. What particularly worried them, Alex, was that there was an element of civil disobedience, peaceful civil disobedience, in that campaign, and no way were they going to have that sort of message taken to the people of America.
Well, we certainly wouldn't want a lot of people in downtown New York or many of the other cities complaining about the system. Of course, that's what we have right now with the Occupy issue. John, I do want to get to the heart of the airport issue, but I want to just continue for a second with the civil rights issues of demanding a clean environment for us all. As you fought off these powers of government and the aviation industry in the capital of London, were you harassed or put under surveillance?
Almost certainly I was. Almost certainly we were. Because, as you said in your introduction, Alex, that this was a coalition which brought together ordinary householders, residents under the flight path, with young eco-activists. And the young eco-activists took what in the UK we talk about direct action, which I think you know is civil disobedience, against the third runway at Heathrow. Nothing violent. In fact, it was very non-violent. It was deliberately non-violent. But this was enough, most certainly, to put us and put myself under surveillance. And I think the basic thing is, it's the same as the people in the occupying the squares and the streets around the world today. We were fundamentally challenging corporate power. We were challenging the corporate power of the aviation industry. And I think when they felt we weren't going to be successful, they could dismiss us, they could ignore us. But then when it became clear that we had established not just a major campaign, but a movement across the UK, when they were really challenged and their power was challenged, then in my opinion, in my view, there's no doubt that I was put under surveillance by the various government and security services.
And most North American listeners have not heard of the police spy Mark Kennedy. Was he involved in this, and how far did he go?
Mark Kennedy wasn't actually involved in the Heathrow campaign, but he was a police spy, and it was a very big story in the UK. Because the Third Runway campaign, it took place in a wider atmosphere of civil disobedience against corporations that were responsible for emitting CO2, the climate change gas. So there was peaceful actions against coal-fired power stations and against other targets. So there was a movement of several thousand people who took non-violent direct action. And it emerged earlier this year that this movement was heavily infiltrated by police spies, by people from the security services, including this guy called Mark Kennedy. Now, he had passed himself off for 6 years as an activist. In fact, he had had relationships with a number of the women activists, and it came very close to actually encouraging people to break the law. He probably did that. But he and others, it's now emerging, were embedded within the activist movement. And I think there's a book being published in the States called Green is the New Red. And the authorities seem to be terrified by radical green ideas, I think because they see them as a threat to the status quo. And therefore, people who are expressing, in many cases, what you and I may regard as perfectly common sense ideas, are targeted as the new subversives in a way that McCartney targeted so-called communists in the early 1950s in the States.
Yes, Senator McCarthy. Well, despite all this, and millions of pounds spent in public relations by the industry, the Heathrow battle was won in the public interest. Tell us how that happened.
Yes, it was won, and it was the biggest reverse the aviation industry in the UK and possibly in the whole of Europe has ever experienced. I think it's probably worth saying for listeners that the Heathrow is the busiest international airport in Europe. The aviation industry for decades has wanted to see it expand. It's wanted a third runway and therefore was putting all its resources into making that happen. For the best part of the last decade, it also had significant support from the British government. So that's what we were facing. And I think we took the view, and I certainly took the view, that if you are facing corporate power in this way, you've got to try and meet power with power. There's no way that a few local residents on their own are going to win, however good their arguments. And that's why we attempted to build this huge coalition, which brought together local residents, environmental groups, politicians of all political parties, young eco-activists, conservation groups, to form the probably the biggest ever coalition against an airport expansion in the UK. We challenged them on that. We also challenged them on a range of issues, climate change, noise, community destruction, and challenged fundamentally their economic case for a third runway. We did all that, and the way we did it was not just to sit back and wait for public consultations, but to set the agenda through public meetings, demonstrations, and nonviolent civil disobedience.
This is Radio EcoShock. I'm Alex Smith with our guest, aviation critic and activist John Stewart. John, your organization is known as HACAN Clear Skies. What does that stand for? And tell us a little bit about it.
The organization is HACAN Clear Skies, Alex. And a journalist once said to me, "I don't want to be rude, John." Now, when somebody starts a conversation like that, you know, they are about to be rude. And he said, "HACAN Clear Skies." That is simply the worst name I have ever heard. It's utterly meaningless. So let me tell you a little bit about how it came about. HACAN actually stands for the Heathrow Association for the Control of Aircraft Noise. Had been around as a residence group for many, many years. In the year 2000, it merged with people who had wider concerns than just noise under the name of Clear Skies. We put the two names together, and we got this organization called HACAN Clear Skies. But it did form the basis of this successful coalition, which defeated the plans for the third runway at Heathrow.
Let's get to the health issues of jet transport. What are some of the known impacts of living under a flight path?
Yes, I mean, this is why so many residents feel so strongly about these sort of issues. At Heathrow, people who are under the flight path, they have a plane going over sometimes one every 90 seconds right throughout the day. And all the evidence from across the world shows that noise at this sort of level stresses people out. It can lead to health problems, to heart attacks, to early death, to less productivity at work. And then for the people living close to the airport, there are the air pollution problems which come from aviation, which again can have serious impacts on people's health. Also for children studying under the flight path, effects on their education. All that evidence is there. It's known. It's a highly inconvenient truth for the authorities and the major corporations. They don't want to hear this because it's damning evidence of their activities. So what, of course, they do in a time-honored fashion is say, nothing's quite proved yet. We need more research. And in that way, can conveniently sideline what is damning and conclusive evidence about the ill effects on people's health of living under a flight path or near an airport.
John, does the UK government set limits to the amount of pollution generated by the airport? Does anyone even measure it?
There are some limits set by the European Union on air pollution. The interesting thing is that Heathrow exceeds those legal limits, and the UK government is in danger of being fined as a result. There are minimal limits on noise. So, in effect, there's no real control over the noise and air pollution impacts of Heathrow Airport.
John Stewart, one of the big reasons for opposing a massive expansion of air travel is the greenhouse gas emissions which threaten the climate for all of the coming generations. What do we need to know about the climate impact of the airline industry?
Yeah, this is the big one. And this is why so many environmentalists in recent years have started campaigning on aviation issues. Let me just give you one or two facts which are startling and put this into perspective. The third runway alone at Heathrow would have created as many CO2, that's climate change emissions, in one year as the entire economy of Kenya. Aviation worldwide contributes around about 5% of all climate change emissions. Now, that may not sound much when you at first, but think about it. This is just one industry contributing 5% of all climate change emissions. And when you put that in terms of a country, that is more than the entire CO2 emissions in one year of the UK and Canada put together. Moreover, aviation is the fastest growing source of CO2 emissions. So this is what drives so many people to say, actually, it's madness for aviation to expand in the way it is proposed, it is thoroughly damaging to the climate.
John, let's travel to America now, although you're not allowed to do that.
Well, I can travel there, but I'll be sent back, Alex.
Well, I remind listeners, the American public is protected by the FBI against knowing what is happening in other countries. And you're just one of many activists who have been banned from entering the United States and from prohibited from speaking. Well, John, what was your plan for the Air Justice Tour of North America?
Well, the plan was that myself and Dan Glass, who was one of the young activists concerned about climate change in particular, that we would have a tour of the states. We were invited by some of the community campaign groups in some of the cities like New York, Seattle, San Francisco, Santa Monica, who said, look, we've been fighting airport expansion, new runways for years, and we haven't been successful. And they were interested in what were the strategies behind our success. As we've talked just now, you know, it was bringing together local residents with climate change activists, building a big coalition, challenging on the economics, and being in your face with our tactics. That's what they wanted to hear about. And the idea was to go across the states by train for a month, starting in New York, taking in Chicago, California, and ending up, it should have been today, in Seattle.
This is Radio EcoShock with UK activist John Stewart. John, airport expansion, as you say, is always sold as a source of more jobs and more local revenue. Does it really work out that way?
No, it doesn't. And one of the key things that I hinted just now in bringing about our success at Heathrow, stopping the third runway, was that we challenged, probably for the first time, on the economics. Because when any of these big developments are proposed by the authorities or by the corporations, they say, they're essential for the economy, they'll bring jobs. What they really mean is they'll bring nice profits to the corporations, but they sell them in terms of economics and jobs. And I think it's very often activists, and particularly environmental activists, are a bit reluctant to challenge the economics. We thought we had to do that, otherwise we're fighting with one hand behind our back. And we found in London that a third runway was not essential to the economy of London. Now, clearly, any new development does bring some jobs, but it's vastly overstated by the aviation industry. Their contribution to the economy is vastly overstated, because what they conveniently forget to tell us is the huge tax breaks they get. Across the world, there's no tax on aviation fuel. In most countries, they don't pay any sales tax. In the UK, we call value-added tax, VAT. And some of our economists have done some work in the UK which shows that the tax breaks the aviation industry enjoys means that the country is losing £10 billion. That's in the region of $15 billion a year because of those tax breaks. And that's never taken into account when the aviation industry says how much it actually contributes to the economy. Their figures have got to be taken with a pinch of salt.
I have to agree. You know, in America, I think that the cheap airfares, and these companies keep going bankrupt time after time. American Airlines is heading towards bankruptcy as we speak, but these cheap airfares have displaced the construction of high-speed rail in the United States. There just isn't any there. It's a wonderful point you raise.
That's absolutely right. These cheap fares are artificially cheap because of the tax breaks the aviation industry gets, and therefore they're generating an artificial market for air. But what they're doing is preventing the growth of high-speed rail in the States and in parts of Europe as well. And this is something we were saying during the campaign. I mean, we were very aware of people who work in the aviation industry. You know, we are aware that if there's not expansion, some of them may lose their jobs. We have to be aware of that because it's an absolutely terrible thing for someone to be pushed out of work. But what we're saying is what we would like to see governments in the UK and indeed wider in North America as well, is adopt the idea of what we call a just transition from jobs in unsustainable industries like aviation to investment in jobs in more sustainable industries like rail or like renewable energy. It doesn't mean to say there will be no aviation. There always will be. But we would like to see this switch, and we would like to see governments enable this switch to happen in a humane way so that as people lose their jobs in less sustainable industries, as they possibly don't grow or they contract like aviation, their skills can be used or transferred to working in more sustainable industries like high-speed rail. But at the moment, the power and the self-interest of the aviation industry so blinds the governments to their alleged importance to the economy that they're not prepared to countenance this sort of strategy.
Well, it's not sustainable, too, because everybody's heard about peak oil. We're not going to be able to get aircraft fuel at such low prices forever. Eventually, we're going to run out of oil or it will be so expensive we can't get it. And yet, Beijing just built the world's largest airport. It seems like it's almost a disease. Britain was going to be like a giant aircraft carrier where every plane in the world was going to land there. Well, what will it take to end this fantasy that's so dangerous for the climate?
It's difficult to know what it'll take, but you're absolutely right. If the aviation industry was smart rather than selfish, they would be saying, what's the smart way forward for aviation in the future? It is a contracted industry. It's an industry which is probably doing what aviation should be doing, and is that concentrating on longer intercontinental flights and allowing short-distance flights to be switched to high-speed rail, and also to promote video conferencing for a lot of businesses. Now, what will make the industry wake up? I think it is the shock that with peak oil emerging, with oil getting more expensive, they just won't be able to carry on as before. Of course, they are trying their best to do so. And that's why they're trying to develop new sources of fuel, and particularly biofuels. But again, the problem with biofuels is that they've got to come from plants, and those plants grow very often in the global south, and you either grow biofuels or you grow plants for food. So it's either food for the people in the global south or fuel for the aviation industry in the rich countries. They're trying every trick in the book to try and continue business as usual. And only once they realize that the fuel is just not available will I think they come to their senses and realize that the game is up for them.
John, as we finish up, could you give us a couple of websites to follow up and any comments you would like to leave with our listeners?
Yeah, I mean, you can certainly find out more about the Third Runway campaign on www.hacan.org.uk. And it also includes a little booklet I wrote about the campaign, which explains the strategies behind it, but also, hopefully, a little bit about the ordinary people and the activists who took part in it. So that's www.hacan.org.uk. And if you want to find out about the tour, which we should have been on, but actually took place, a lot of it as we were Skyped into events, you want to go to www.aviationjusticeexpress.org. www.aviationjusticeexpress.org. And I think about a final thought. It is that ordinary people, committed activists, can win. We often feel when faced with the power of corporations and the inertia of government that little people can't win, that activists will lose. I think our story shows that you can take on the power of corporations, even when they're backed by government, and have a noticeable success.
John Stewart, thank you so much for joining us on Radio EcoShock.
Thanks very much, Alex.
I'm Alex Smith. Dan Glass is a member of the aviation group Plain Stupid. I met him in Vancouver during the Aviation Justice Tour. And welcome to Radio EcoShock, Dan.
Hiya.
You've actually had some fun along the way with some bright ideas to get across this airport activism, if you want to call it that. And I heard that in 2008 you got rather attached to the Prime Minister, Gordon Brown. Would you tell us about that?
Oh, the good old superglue incident. I'm not going to live that one down ever, I don't think. So in 2008, you may have heard about it in the North American press. So I'd won an award for campaigning. I've been spending the last few years working with communities who live under flight paths. And I'm sure there's listeners here who've lived under a flight path and who've lived with a daily brutal onslaught of getting woken up at 4 o'clock every morning or even earlier by illegal levels of noise pollution, who've lived with higher rates of asthma and cancer in their communities, who've lived with black dots on their laundry when they hang it up outside because of the vast pollution which is being dropped down on your houses. Anyway, so I've been organising with communities on public health grounds really for the past few years all across the UK. When I got this invitation through my door saying, you know, you've won this award for your campaigning work for working with communities affected by airport expansion, and the patron is Gordon Brown, Prime Minister, so welcome to 10 Downing Street, I was like, hang on a second, I cannot live with myself accepting an award from the guy who's wedded to the aviation industry, who wants to expand one of the world's largest airports, Heathrow Airport Expansion, when I'm getting the award for working with people who are affected by the problems. No, I'm not going to do that. So I said to my mate, who I was with at the time, I said, well, what can I do to highlight the hypocrisy? And she said, I don't know. Well, why don't you just collect testimony from all the communities that you work with, make it into a speech and say it to him when you superglue yourself to his arm? And I was like, you know what? That's a very good idea. And she said, no, I was joking. Don't superglue yourself to the Prime Minister. But the thought had already gone in and I was determined to do it. And in line with Plain Stupid's actions and creative actions and importance of civil disobedience in, you know, the fine fundamental workings of democracy, I did just that. And so I spent the month beforehand practicing on my housemate, the unsung hero. Every evening it was like, Stephen, come over here, super glue time after dinner. He was like, okay, Dan. And so, because I wanted to obviously make sure that my hand was on his sleeve, I didn't want to do it hand on hand because that could have been an assault and that was obviously not what the intention was, and you don't want a bleeding Prime Minister off your hand anyway and making chit-chat in the ambulance on the way to the hospital. It would have been completely off message. And so in the end, what I worked out to do was having super glue in little bags attached to the outside of my boxes, and I had a hole in my trouser pocket so that when it was my turn to shake the Prime Minister's hand, I would superglue myself to his arm. And so when it came to my turn, I was obviously very nervous. So when it came to my turn, I put my hand into my pocket and squeezed the superglue onto my hand and then shook my hand with my right hand and his right hand and stuck myself to his sleeve. And I said, don't move, Mr. Prime Minister. And the whole room went quiet. And I said, if you move, it'll hurt the both of us. I have just to say, I have superglued myself to your sleeve to say that you can run away from my arm eventually, but you can't run away from climate change. And all the while he was looking at me very strangely, trying to prise his fingers off my arm. And the whole room was like, okay, what's going on here? And I said, don't worry, this is a peaceful stunt in line with Plain Stupid's commitment to peaceful action. And everyone breathed a sigh of relief. They realised I wasn't going to blow up or anything. And then I said, you know, I have stuck to myself to your arm to say that we can beat climate change, but it ain't going to come about by expanding the world's largest airport, such as Heathrow. And then the crowd, which was made up a lot of campaigners and human rights lawyers and advocates and stuff, were clapping and cheering because they realised what was going on. You know, it's time that you stood up to the bullies of British airport authorities and stood up for the British public. And by that time, there was a lot of cheers and support. And that was that. I mean, you know, actually, what the hell were they expecting? You know, I've got an award for campaigning. It's a campaigner's and an active citizen's duty to look for opportunities to highlight hypocrisies and injustices. And I took just that. And that action was the biggest news story in the world the next day, much to my mum's horror. That was just one action which contributed to a whole years-long campaigns, from direct actions to community actions to petitions, which finally put an end to the Heathrow Third Runway.
Radio EcoShock will be right back with our American guest, Debbie Wagner, as she describes the struggle to contain thousands of airport expansions, including Chicago O'Hare, JFK in New York, SeaTac in Seattle, and many more. Stay tuned.